Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I know God spoke to me, and He just said, "Be still." And I was like, "What does that mean? What does that even mean to be still?" I decided to go. And if you give me a second, I will read it to you. And this is from Psalms 46:10. He says, "Oh, that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So to be still, translated in the Hebrew, is Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. This means to be weak, let go, and release, and just let it go. It sounds like it's easier said than done, but if you just let it go, He'll carry you. He'll take you wherever He needs you to go. So I just want to encourage you guys to be still. Know that He is God. He's got everything under control.
You know, I heard Pastor Stephen Furtick say something that really stuck with me because I never really thought of it that way. And I think it goes perfect with what Lacey was just talking about, is that he said, when we go to God in prayer with an answer, then we're in our own mindset. If we think we already have the answer to our problems, to our situations, to everything that's going on, then we're going to Him already thinking we know, right? And it really stuck with me because the truth is He is the answer. So when we're going to Him, we should have a heart that's in that mindset. That's in that mindset of, God, what is it that You have for me? It's a question. What do You want for me to do today? What is it that You have for me in this day? For the Bible says that, God, this is the day that You have made. So I don't know what it holds, but You do know what it holds. So when we go to Him in prayer, we should be in this mindset of, what is it that You have? We should be searching. We should be looking for what it is that He can do in this day, what He can do tomorrow, what He can do in the next month, what He can do in the next year, because we don't have all the answers. And that's okay to not have every answer. It's okay to not know exactly what's gonna happen or exactly what you should be doing, because He knows. He's the author, He's the creator. And all we have to do is be in this mindset of trust. I trust in You. Everything that I want to do, everything that I am, God, I'm looking to You. Because I need You. That's where we should be. That's one of the things that I love about this song. The bridge says, I can see peace coming. Or I can feel. Can you put the bridge words up? I can feel the peace coming. I can see the fear running. Your love, it just does something. It sets my feet to dancing. That bridge in itself, man. There's sometimes, I'm going to be honest, when we're up here, even in Raise a Hallelujah, I'm like, I don't know how we can stay still. Yeah, come on. Because we have a victory already. He's fighting every battle on your behalf right now. It's not just when you need it. It's not just when you feel the problems come, just when you feel uneasy. It's not just in those moments. He sees the battles coming towards you. He sees the things that you don't even see yet, that physically aren't a part of your life yet. He knows them. He sees them coming towards you, and He's fighting them for you. If you would just be still, Let's stop trying to take over those things. Let's stop trying to be in control to know the answers, but just allow him to move. Let's feel the peace coming. Let's see the fear running just because of who we are in him. Just because we have peace in him.
I just want to say that I've been focusing on this verse. And the verse is Proverbs 16:7, and it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's exactly what Rebecca is saying, that, you know, we all have enemies, right? We may even be enemies of ourselves. We may have self-hatred. We may have unworthiness, but when the promises, when our ways please the Lord, our enemies will scatter. We will not have, the battle is not ours. You know, I struggle in my physical appearance myself. And when I, just like she says, all we have to do is focus and worship him and give him praise, because he will fight our battles, and we have victory, but we will know that we will have victory even more through his promises.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Has he been faithful to you? Have you gone through things that he's always shown himself faithful? That's who he is. Even though we don't remain faithful, he remains faithful. He's always with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never let go of you. He'll never, ever leave you on your own. He's always with you. Wherever you're at, wherever you go, hallelujah. He dwells within you. His word is within you. Hallelujah. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. There is no separation that can come between you and your Father, because he dwells in you. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah, Jesus. There's none like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, touch your people, Lord. Hallelujah. Grace. Yes, Lord. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Has he been faithful to you? Hallelujah. Makes his love, sets my feet to dancing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love this song. I love this last one. I actually asked my daughter to do this because it just speaks to me so much, because I really do believe that God is exposing the kingdom of God in a different way. He's exposing his purpose and his plans, his ways. How many of you know the word of God says, and I think it's Psalm 103, I think it says, I'd have to look at it, but the people that were with Moses, they saw God. They knew God. They saw him. They knew him in that way. But Moses knew his ways. He understood his ways. He said, this is what God is doing. And it's important. And it's important for the body of Christ today that we understand that God is doing things. And he wants us to know his ways for your life, your personal life. We're not church folks. How many of you know we don't come to church? How many of you know we're not in church. We are the church. That's who we are. We are the church. We are the kingdom of God on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. How many agree with that? Hallelujah. That I am in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. It's so important that we understand these things. So important that because he purchased you for this purpose today. Is that okay? If you're breathing, how many are breathing here today? Anybody, like I said before, anybody not breathing, put your hand down. No, just kidding. Everybody looks around. Yeah. He's got you here today for a reason. Speak to that person, that whoever, where that, wherever you're at, to speak into their life, speak into their heart. The love of Jesus. Even a smile will speak the love of Jesus into somebody's heart. You know, pull your mask, put it back, get my smile, give them a nice smile. If they smile back again. Hallelujah. The world needs the kingdom of God. How many know that? The world needs to know that there is a God that cares for them, that loves them. There is a God that has a purpose and a plan, that he hasn't lost his plan. He hasn't lost he hasn't lost his blueprints for what he's having. He knows exactly what's happening today. I was in Sunday school this morning. How many like Sunday school? Come on, yeah, you guys shake your head, but nobody goes. Ah, gotcha, yeah. People go, yeah, okay, no, yeah, oh. Best to be, yeah, trying to try. Hey, you know, Sunday school is good. Sunday school is good. There's good things being said in there. I believe God is exposing the kingdom in that class. So, I mean, if you can, try to make it here at 9 o'clock. Is that right? 9 o'clock. And this is not, what do we call it? Ministry. Help me out. Ministry Minute. I'm telling you, there's things being said back there in that room that every child of God needs to hear. There's things being brought out, but the Holy Spirit is bringing things out so that we may better understand. How many want to better understand God? How many of you want to know what God is saying to the church today? Hallelujah. Step into it. Make yourself available. Is it okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. There you go. That will cost you $50, Steve, for that thing. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you looked at your bulletin today? You see the name of the sermon? It's called Dead or Alive. Amen. Hallelujah. Dead or Alive. Hallelujah. Which one are you? Yeah. Come on. What? Did I hear it? You were dead, but now I'm alive. So let's just say this. We're both. Amen. I mean, if you're in the kingdom of God, you're both. You're dead to sin, dead to the things of this world, but alive under Christ. Is that okay? We'll call it dead or alive. Somebody asks you, dead or alive? You know, how many know there's churches where people are just dead? I don't believe I said that. Praise God. I said, God, what? What was that? How many know that God wants you alive? We were reading this morning that God says, you're neither cold nor hot. Isn't that what it said? You're neither cold nor hot. You're in between. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth because you're not even, I mean, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. At least you're good for something if you're cold. Yeah. How many like drinking on a hot day a nice warm bottle of water? Anybody like that? That bugs me, man. It must be just me, but I like it ice cold. Oh, neither cold nor hot. God wants us on fire for the kingdom. How do you know? Do you know if you're on fire for the kingdom? Do you know that's called hot? Do you know that? That's going to be hot. There's going to be a warmth there. On fire for the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God doing today? It's reaching out to the lost. It's drawing people in by the Holy Spirit, allowing them to hear and see things they've never seen, never heard before. Amen. You know what? There's a lot of folks out there that know all about church. Yeah, we've been there. I don't need to go to church. I can worship God on the mountain. Yeah, you can. You're absolutely right. But you need a body of believers around you so that you can corporately gain and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen? Amen. You got to be, you can go to the mountain, but a lot of times by the mountain, maybe you might not hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Be in church on Sunday. Is that cool? Am I doing this again? Here I am. Ministry minute again. Get in church. Amen. Be in church. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate you guys are here. Because there's not a lot of churches open today. How many of you know that? And we're not any special thing. It's not that, oh, well, we believe this or that or the other. I believe that God has just called us and has spoken to us, say, hey, go ahead, reopen. Speak my word, because people need to hear what God is saying to the church. They just need to hear it. So when you leave today, take notes. Take them home with you. Take them out in the streets. Take them down the Circle K, 7-Eleven. Do we have a 7-Eleven? We don't have a 7-Eleven here, do we? No. Take them over to Chipotle. Is that how you say it? I'm starting to learn that because your sister, Jasmine, said, you're saying that wrong, hand. Chipotle, I don't know, whatever. I was saying Chipotle. Yeah. She could look at it and read it, man. I didn't even say it that way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is it important that you're comfortable in the kingdom, in the house of God? Is it important that you be still like Sister was saying this morning? Last week we read about being still. The Spirit of God came into the congregation and told them, be still. Don't be afraid of this big army that's coming against you. Be still. Settle yourself. Being still is settling yourself. And when Moses was taking I was kind of laughing at it the other day. I was looking at Moses was getting ready to take the children of Israel across the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army had to be held back by the pillar, the pillar of fire and by night, and the cloud by day had to move from the front of them because it was taking them. They were following it. Had to move from the front over to the back behind them to put a separation between them and the Egyptians. Because they were going to stand there, they're going to be there at that little spot to cross the Red Sea, and they need it. And so God protected them. And Moses said, be still and watch and behold the salvation of God. Amen. Everybody in the place said, man, we're trapped by the sea, and there's the Egyptian army. We're a bunch of dead folks. They even told Moses, you brought us out here to be slaughtered, man. What's wrong with you? God said, be still, told Moses, be still, and then he told them, move forward. The waters weren't even parted yet. He told them, move forward, get going. What? You got to move forward. Church, let me just say this, church. We have to continually move forward. It's no time to be sitting back. Is that right? There's no time to kick back and just wait. You know what? It is time to be moving forward under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you today, the Holy Spirit is directing the church. You will find if you will sit and if you will wait on God, you'll find that he will give you something. You'll find that his mouth, that he will begin to speak to you. He will begin to say things to you to move you forward. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. We're in a great time. We are in a great position today. Do you know that? Yeah, well, the whole world is messed up with this COVID thing. No, not the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not. The kingdom of God is alive and well. How many say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm alive. And I'm also dead. Come on, hallelujah. Dead or alive? Are you dead or are you alive? Hallelujah. Better get into the message because... Glory to God. Whew. I want to take you to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Familiar story. Just a man. I was up pretty late last night, waiting on to hear what God was going to say, and I actually just kept dozing off. Been a little bit tired lately. I just kind of kept dozing off, and in one of those, I said, "God, just tell me, so I can go to bed. will you just say something to me? And where I thought I was going to preach, I was telling Pastor John, I said, I think I'm going to preach about the booty. I mean, I shouldn't have said it that way, huh? Excuse me. We're going to talk about the spoils that Jehoshaphat picked up. And it's called booty also. But I was telling Pastor John that, jeez, I don't know why I said that. That whenever you obey God, isn't this right, Abe? Whenever you obey God, there's always a blessing behind it. And isn't that right? There's always a blessing. Jehoshaphat, man, he obeyed God. He sent out singers where the singers are going, what? Me? We've got to sing before the army that's coming to get? Yeah, just sing for him. What? Nobody fights that way. He sent him out that way. He did what God had told him to do. And God sent an ambush. And he wiped all that enemy off. And they left all their stuff. And the Bible says that for 3 days, they collected everything that they had. For 3 days, they collected. There was so much. Said, can I tell you something? It's a picture that when you obey God, he will bring a blessing to you. As a matter of fact, that they called it the Valley of Baruch. Did you guys remember that last week? The Valley of Baruch. It is a blessing. It is a place of blessing. You want to see the place of blessing? Just obey God. And he'll bring the blessing in behind that obedience that you've taken. Is that okay? Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. That's who God is. He always wants to bless his people. Do you know that? Can I just say this to you? He cannot bless disobedience. If your child is disobedient, do you hand him a cookie? Here, thanks for being disobedient. Come on. I mean, does it make sense? No, it doesn't. You do that in front of me, I'll say, hey, slap that cookie out of his house. No, it doesn't, because God blesses obedience. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So be obedient. Amen? Glory. Let God have his way in your life. What he tells you, just do it. You watch the blessing that will show up right after that. Amen? Three people. Amen. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Come on, you guys. Hallelujah. Help me out here. Well, it's been a long night, or short night, I should say. Praise God. Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's about 3 o'clock. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look upon us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Amen? Hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Can I tell you, if you're looking, you might receive something. Amen? So I'm outside, look at me, look at me. See, well, right now I'm sharing the word of God. See, this is not me, this is God's word. I'm sharing God's word in what he gave me last night, and I'm sharing it to you. And it is important that you look and you expect that God will do something for you, that he'll give you something today, because the things that enter in your heart are the things that are important to you. Do you understand that? Do you understand that the things that go into the heart through the word of God will position themselves to strengthen you. Do you know that? Hallelujah. So look. Hey, man, forget about this guy, but look and expect. Amen? Hallelujah. He says this. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said with John, look on us. And he gave heed to them, concerned, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said this. I love this statement. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, very specific of who he was talking about, amen? In his name, rise up and walk, hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you, Can I tell you, this was not long after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit came upon the 120 that were in the upper room. How many know that? Can I tell you, the Spirit of God changes people. Is that right? He brings change. Hallelujah. Old things pass away. All things become new. Hallelujah. Whew. Peter was a different man. Before, Peter was hiding by the fire. Remember that? He was a different man. He was denying that he even knew the Lord. And now he's standing in the temple and he said, in the name of Jesus, the Christ from Nazareth, you rise up and walk. Amen. Come on. Woo. Hallelujah. Totally different. Can I tell you, the old Peter wasn't there anymore. Amen. How many of you are going to let the old man die? How many of you want to let him die today? Dead or alive? Are you dead? Or are you alive? What do you want to work? Where do you want to work in? Where do you want to be at? Do you want to be alive in Christ or do you want to be dead? Wow. It's your choice. It really is your choice. The Word of God says in Proverbs, it says this, that your soul is in your hand. What are you going to do? God is saying, I'm telling you the word. I'm giving you the word this morning. What are you going to do with it? It's in your hand. Hallelujah. I love it. God says, it's up to you, my friend. Do you love these things? You watch what kind of treasures you find in God's word. Hallelujah. Beautiful things. Extraordinary things. Inscrutable things. How many know what inscrutable means? Anybody know what inscrutable means? I didn't either. I was preaching and that word came out of my mouth. Inscrutable. I go, what? I looked at the people I was talking to. Anybody know what that means? No, but we're going to find out. They grabbed a dictionary, brought it out. You know what inscrutable means? Hidden things. The Spirit said it. And I didn't know anything, know what the word was. But that's why you take a look, if you get a chance, look at it. There are things that have been hidden. That's what I loved about this song. Heaven's secrets. He's exposing. I know that every tear that you've cried, I know that every pain that you've felt about a loved one or whatever, I know it's not wasted with God. He saw it. He sees it. And you're going to see His glory concerning these things. You will see it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Inscrutable things, hidden things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What verse am I on, brother? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Sorry. You're and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Can I tell you that God is doing something different? If you say amen, if you believe that. Amen. He's doing something different. Who knows how, it doesn't say how old this man was, but he'd been there a long time, amen. They'd carried him every day. Somebody carried him in. Mom and dad probably at first brought him in, sat him down, and then they said, hey man, some of his friends, hey, can you take him to the temple so he can beg and say, yeah, we'll take him, you know, whatever. And so he'd been there a long time. And now here Peter and John are walking in and they've got something to give him, amen. They got something good for him, amen. Look at your neighbor and say, good. They say it better than that. Good. It was good. Yeah, man, they were giving him something good. Hallelujah. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Notice that he was not in the temple. No, I want you to know that he was not allowed in the temple because he was lame. Can I tell you that? It was not, they would not let him into the temple. He could sit in front of the temple and listen, but he couldn't go in. Here he is, stands up, he's walking and leaping. Anybody say, you like leaping? Oh, I love to leap. I have to tell you, I had a dream the other night. I was telling you, in men's breakfast, I had a dream the other night. And in the dream, I don't know where I was at, but all I know, I was doing this. That's just kind of what I do. That's just who I am. I love to do that before the Lord. I'm not trying to show off. To me, it's something that he broke in my life because I would try to jump. My wife would be jumping around all over the place. And sit down. No, I never did that to her. But I would try to jump and I'd get this high. My toes would never leave. Until he told me, he says, Henry, jump for me. And I jumped. And I got 2 feet off the ground. You guys know that, right? You guys have heard that. I was up about 2 feet. No, 2 feet off the ground. I got, and I'll tell you what, it did something to me. And now, it's just because it's something he showed me. It's something he poured into me. Jump for me. So I'll jump for him. You see me jumping for him, just remember my story. He told me to jump. He said, jump. When you say that idiot pastor, whatever, look at him over there being silly. He told me to jump. And if he told me to jump, I'm going to jump. Amen. Till I jump right into the kingdom, right into the heaven. That's where I'm going to be jumping. Amen. Can you imagine how we'll be? You guys look real prim and proper right now. Can you imagine how we'll be in the heavens worshiping God? You guys will be full of tears and all the crown falling down and all this other stuff. God said, send them angels over there and pick them up. And let's do it again. Amen. Come on. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Do you notice that statement says heaven and earth are full of your glory? That's who we are. We are the glory of God in the earth. Hallelujah. So jump when you get a chance. Do it at home for a while. Try it. Try it. You like it. You like it. I love it. Jumping, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Can you see what healing does? Folks, we are the body of Christ in the earth. We are the church. We are the kingdom of God in the earth. Lay hands on them. Let God do what he wants to do. But you watch. When people start getting healed, there is an attraction that they will come looking. They will tell their friends. Their friends will tell their friends. You see what happened to Joe over in front of the temple? Yeah, he got healed. What? He's been lame for years. And now they're running over here to look at it to see what's going on. Because healing is a flow, should be a flow. How many know we talked about flow last year? Healing is a flow. It really is. And it should be flowing like crazy right now in the body of Christ. Amen? Let it flow. I'm telling you, let it flow. Just lay hands on them. Let them receive it. Hallelujah. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people. When they were coming in, Peter answered the people and said to the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so intently on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" It's good to acknowledge where the power is coming from, amen? It's good to acknowledge where the source is. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer, his name was Barabbas, you remember that? He desired a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead. Everybody say amen. How many know that Jesus was raised from the dead? He paid for you. And God raised him from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And I love this statement right here that Peter says, and the faith which is by him. You need to know this. It's not your faith, it's his faith. If you are dead in Christ and you've been risen again from the dead, the faith that's operating in you is not your faith. Do you understand that? The Bible says he is the author and finisher of faith. And you, if you look in the King James book, you're going to see that word "our" was added to for understanding. That's what a lot of those. If you look in I mostly look in the King James, but if you look in a lot of the scriptures, you'll see italicized words. Those words, those italicized words are words that have been added to help you bring in an understanding. That's what they're for. But when it says he is the author and finisher, they added the word our. But it's not your faith. So it should be read this way. He is the author and finisher of faith. It's not your faith. It's his faith that's dwelling in you. That's what creates the power that makes you so powerful in this earth today. Do you get it? Do you get it? Lord, that's why when that man said, Lord, increase my faith, Jesus didn't say anything. It's almost like he ignored what he was saying. Take a look at it. It's almost like he doesn't go there because it's not increasing your faith. Oh, you need faith to get in. That's why he says we go from faith to faith. A lot of folks thinks it's from, you know, events happening in your life, you're going from faith to faith. No, it's not. It's from the faith that it takes to believe to get in. And now all of a sudden you are handed a different faith. Here it is. This is the faith of Jesus. That's what's operating in you. If that's operating in you, how powerful are you? How powerful are you? If that faith is operating in you, you are incredibly powerful. If you got just a little, if you break open, I mean, he says the seed, the grain of a mustard seed. So go home and bust open one of your little mustard seeds, throw it on the counter, just push on it with a spoon, and you watch. It'll pop open, and there are little tiny grains in there. That's how much you need of Jesus' faith in this earth. It says, man, you'll move mountains with it. Amen? But you got to understand where it's coming from. You got to understand the source. It's not you. You died. Amen? And you're resurrected in Christ. It's not you. It's him in you. Are you dead or are you alive? Come on, man. I'm both. Hallelujah. I've lost my place. Yeah. Praise God. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desire to murder to be granted to you and kill the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. 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 It's a Texas word. In the presence of y'all. And now, brethren, I wot that you, that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Verse 19, repent. Everybody say repent. Look at your friend, say repent. Look at your neighbor, say repent. Repent. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Times of refreshing. He is there. The word of God is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're in Isaiah chapter 28. He says, with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to these people. This is the refreshing whereby they can enter into rest, but they would not. Don't be one of those that refuse those things that God's trying to give you. Receive everything that he has for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's yours. If Jesus is within you, it's in there. Let it come forth. Amen, Rick? Amen. Is that what you said? Yeah, I'm just copying you, bro. Hallelujah. Repent, therefore, and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren, like me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet. I need you to listen to this. It will come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet. What prophet is he talking about? Jesus. Isn't that right? Moses said, God's going to raise up unto you a prophet. Everyone needs to hear him. His name is Jesus. And it says this, it shall come to pass if every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets. Amen? Are you the children of a prophet? Yes, you are of the prophets. Jesus is one of them. Amen? The Son of God, God in the flesh. You are children of the prophet and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to what? To bless you. Barak. He sent him to bless you. The blessing of the Lord, if you will obey, if you will listen to him, is upon you. Hallelujah. He sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Hallelujah. Iniquities. Hallelujah. How many know we all have little things that trouble us? Is that right? How many know that? How many admit that? Some of you are afraid. Oh, no, man, I got nothing. I got nothing. You know what? And you know, the word of God says it this way. It says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Is that right? And who can know us? You don't even know what's in your heart. But he does. And just when you think you're perfect, just when you come to that point, God will show you another little thing about you. I say, oh, got something else to work on, God. Yeah. But see, the fact of the matter is all those things, everything that's happened has already been paid for. That's why he can come to you and say, well, you kind of handle that different and not according to my will. You didn't listen to what I said to you, did you? Or whatever he says. How many of you ever had God speak to you that way? Not much. Okay. Well, he talks to me that way. I must make a lot of mistakes. Praise God. But I want to just direct you to verse 21, I want to talk about this a little bit because this is what I feel the Holy Spirit was really impressing he was impressing with me on this scripture because we are in a world today where we are looking in everything. We're an information generation. Is that right? For sure? We've got more information than we need. Amen. Somebody showed me praise God. Can't even remember the type of dog I've got. Golden retriever. Somebody showed me a picture of a golden retriever using a toilet. That's a cool, but you know what? Too much information. Amen. Who cares? I mean, my dog just goes out in the yard. Come on, man. Hallelujah. But we're an information, man, we're overloaded with information. Everybody knows everything about everything. Amen. And not enough about the kingdom. Can I tell you that Christians we need to know what God is doing today. Hallelujah. We need to be going after him. There are even Christians out there that will be telling you all this stuff about what's happening and all this other stuff, and that's okay. But I would say if you're placing that before what God is saying to you, you better stop. Go after what God is saying. The Bible says this: seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first him and its righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So quit going after the information age. Quit going after. Can I tell you, we know that the Antichrist has come up with something to deceive. We know that there's going to be a mark. We know all those things. Is that right? We know that one of these days, God, the Lord's going to come out of heaven and meet us in the air. How many of you know we know these things? Is that right? Don't get distracted with those details. We know them. If God wants you to know anything more, he'll speak to you. But there are people that will only go to prophecy over prophecy over prophecy, looking at all these things, listening to all these people, rather than listening to God, what God is trying to say to them. And I'm telling you, I feel that God is impressing me to bring this out, that you need to hear him and him alone. Amen? How many say amen to that? You got to hear him. Hallelujah. Forget the information age. I can't remember how David said it. We're being led by information rather than, I can't remember. Anyway, it came to me for a second and I lost it. So I want you to look at this verse 21. It says this. Well, I'm going to start at verse 20, but I'm mostly on verse 21. It says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached to you. Listen. And then it says, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Do you see what it's saying? Which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. I want to read this to you in the TPT if we can. Hallelujah. If we can bring that up, because I want to just show you something. He must remain in the heaven. Do you hear what it's saying? He's got to sit there. Or he can stand, I guess, because when Stephen got stoned, he stood. Isn't that right, Steve? But he must remain in heaven until what? The restoration of all things. Isn't that weird? We've been taught so much that the rapture could happen anytime. But I would tell you today that the restoration of all things, he's talking about what God created in the garden. He's talking about what God created, that man would have dominion over the earth. He's talking about a kingdom that is restoring restoring people to God. That's what he's talking about. And Jesus, it says, must remain in heaven until the restoration of all things has taken place. Do you see that? And then it says, fulfilling everything that God said long ago through his holy prophets. We have people looking to leave. How many of you know that? I'm just going to sit here. Hunker down, is that what you said, Steve? I'm just going to sit here. Until the Lord comes. Uh-uh. That's not how the kingdom works. This kingdom is driven by the Holy Spirit. Some people think that I believe that our mission is just to pray. Just pray. No. Our mission is to hear what he says in prayer to us and then go do what he tells us to do. Don't do anything more. Because he's not telling you to do it. Just you, a mature man or a woman of God will wait for God and he will do what God tells him to do. Hallelujah. Amen. He must remain in heaven. That's what the word of God says. Is that right? You don't believe that one? Let me show you this one. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 9 through 15. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't believe me in this. You go to the Word of God and you look at it and you check it out, because we have been trained and taught in a way, I believe, that it is distracting the body of Christ. It really is. Here's Hebrews chapter 10, 9 and 10. It says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. We're seeing what Jesus is saying to the Father in heaven right here. He says, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about the Old Testament to establish the New Testament. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Everybody say once for all. How many times is he going to die? Just one time. He died for you one time. He's not going to die for you again. Amen? He's already done that. Hallelujah. Once and for all, and every priest standing daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. It's saying to us something there, folks, that offering that Jesus did one time took away sin. Poof. Do you hear me? And this is, but this man, who are we talking about? Jesus. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Whose job is that? To make God's enemies his footstool is the Holy Ghost via the body of Christ. Through you. Not you can't do it without him. Amen? It's Him doing it through you. Can I tell you, we've been taught different. It's not this, and I believe these are mysteries that God is opening. He's saying, look, I need the whole body to look at this. I need everyone to see and understand. This is what I'm saying to the body. You have been cleansed. It says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14 says, for by one offering, he has what? Oh boy, we got a hard time with this one. He has perfected forever. Do you hear it? This is a tough one. I've tried to tell people, well, no, people tell me nobody's perfect. Shut up. Read the word. Go to God's word and see what it says. By one offering, he has perfected forever them, right? That are sanctified. One offering, he's done it. Hey, this isn't my idea. Some folks say, hey, oh, wow, this ain't my idea. It's the word of God. Check it out on your own. Dig and look at it. He's perfected you. There's no excuse for you to be anything less than what the kingdom is telling you. Do you understand that? You are a king and a priest. You are a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. That's who you are. There's no reason to be dabbling in those little things you shouldn't be dabbling in. Amen? No reason at all. Hallelujah. Because he dwells within you. It's not your perfection we're talking about. It's his perfection. And you need to understand that. See, a lot of people that fight on that, they don't understand that you died, bro. Sister, you died. And he came to live within you. The perfection of God. How many of you will deny him that? Are you going to deny him that he's perfect? Well, he dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, he's bringing that perfection to you. No more use the excuse, well, nobody's perfect. I'm only human. Come on. You are not. You're more than that. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he says this, but one offering is perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Do you understand what he's saying? The Holy Ghost bears witness that that's what has happened. For after that he had said before, you know, I'll just stop with that because it says the Holy Ghost is a witness to us about who you are. How many know who you are? Are you dead or alive? Dead or alive? Come on. Hallelujah. I am both. I'm dead to this world. I am dead to who I was, but I am alive in Christ. I am walking. I'm talking. I'm a son of God. Do you believe that? Somebody asked you, man, you might feel kind of weird saying, who are you, man? I'm a son of God. Who are you? That's cool, huh? Ooh, come on, man, because his spirit dwells in you. There's strength in that. But notice that he is sitting. Can you, well, you know what? Let's bring it up in the TPT, if you will. How many of you like the what's it called? The Passion Translation. Anyway, verse 9 says this, and he said, God, I will be the one to go for you, go and do your will. So by being the sacrifice that removes sin, everybody say remove sin. And then I want you to look at, he abolishes animal sacrifices, right? We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. And that, aren't you glad? Boy, I'm glad I can be a priest doing that. Yeah, come on. Yeah, he abolishes animal sacrifices and replaces that entire system with the new covenant. Amen. Can I tell you, the church today is still in the old covenant. Some churches today are still stuck in the old covenant. There's no freedom. There's no, you know what? There's no joy. By God's will, we have been purified and made holy. See that? We have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Is it saying the same thing I've been saying? Come on, man. This is not my words. This is the word of God. And it says this. Yet every day, priests still serve, ritually offering the same sacrifices again and again. Why am I saying it that way? Because sometimes we continue to think the same way. We don't think in a way that God has created us. God has testified to us through His Son. Yet every day, priests still serve, ritually offering the same sacrifices again and again. Sacrifices that can never take away sin's guilt. Do you see that? It can't do it. Then it says this. But when this priest, who, Jesus, had offered the one supreme sacrifice for sin for all time, he sat down on a throne at the right hand of God. See that word waiting? King James says expecting. But he's waiting. Can I just say this to you? He's waiting on us. We need to take our position of who we are in Christ and begin going after these things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I'm not saying I'm not telling you that we do it by going out and marching in the streets and everything, because, you know, hey, that's good stuff, because there is a march happening on the 26th, right? You know, there's going to be a show of the Christians. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't do it after our own thinking. We do it according to the movement, the speaking of the Spirit of God that's within us. You do only those things that He tells you to do. You'll be so much happier. Can I tell you that? When you're trying to do everything that looks like a Christian, just so that you could look like a Christian, do you know how hard that is? But if you do only those things that He tells you to do, you can be so much happier. And then there's the Baruch that's behind it, because you're doing only those things that He tells you to do. That's cool. Verse 14, it says, and by His one and perfect sacrifice, He made us perfectly holy. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Can I tell you, I would say a lot of the Christian world don't even believe this. That's why we're not seeing what we just saw with Peter when he walked into the temple and he said, silver and gold have I none. Stand up, man. Because they won't believe what God's word has been saying to us all the time, all along. But could it be that God is exposing it now for these times, these days? The Holy Spirit confirms this to us by the scripture. Amen. And then He gives the scripture there. We have been washed. Can I just say this to you? You might not know, but look at your friend, look at your neighbor and just say, you're perfect. Because Jesus dwells in you. You're perfect. Some of you are going, yeah, I know. I am a real, what? Do you know that song? I am a real religious man. You ever heard that? Anybody heard that? Not your Libra, sorry. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Let's look at these. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. How many know that? See, can I tell you something? When you got saved and God gave you, and when He came into your life, there is no spirit of fear within you. How many know that? That's an important thing to know today. Fear has no part of you. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. That spirit of power comes through the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? We're talking about the Holy Ghost. But of power and of love and of what? Sound mind. The devil wants to tell you. Oh, man, did I say his name in here? The enemy wants to say, you're losing your mind. You're getting old. You're forgetting stuff. The enemy is going to tell you that. Quit listening to it. You have been given, what's this? The spirit of love, power, and what's this? A sound mind. Do you believe it? Come on, folks. It's time that we believe the word of God. This is who we are. This is what we are. This is the way to walk. This is His way, not ours. Amen? He's the one that said it. Isn't that right? He's the one that says it. So if He said it, why not? Come on. How many of you like this scripture? I love it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Can I tell you, sometimes there's afflictions in the gospel. Sometimes people look at you kind of crazy. Sometimes people talk about you. Sometimes people stone you. Anybody been stoned? Rocks. Who's here been stoned? No, man. Come on, man. I love it, man. You got to be careful what you say in church. Amen. Hey, we get stoned on the chief cornerstone. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to what? He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to what you want to do. Come on. Is that right? The church forever has done what they want to do, and that's it. They don't listen for God. They don't try to be led by the Spirit. They just do what a Christian does today, and that's not the kingdom of God, folks. Hallelujah. Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Come on. Isn't this good? It's before the world began. It's the word of God. But is now manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch and look very close. Who has abolished death. He's done what to death? What does that mean? Gone. Abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Are you dead or are you alive? Are you dead or are you alive? Can I tell you, folks, you are alive in Christ. Let's put this in the TPT and look at it. Hallelujah. 2 o'clock in the morning, man, God's dumping this stuff on me. So that's why I'm dumping it on you. So, hey, I'm sorry, but that's just what I do. For God will never give you the spirit of fear. Amen. But the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power. See, I like the way it says it here. Love and self-control. So never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. Amen? Anytime God shows you something, man, you know you're going to reveal. I mean, he's going to show you things so you can overcome. That's what he does. He knows what's going on in your life. So let him reveal those things, because those things are the ones that are going to set you free. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on, man. We're already free in Christ, but you guys hear what I'm saying? We all have those little things. Go to the Word of God and let God cleanse your hands of them. Amen? Hallelujah. He gave us resurrection life. Amen? And drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done. Amen? But by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? It's not anything we do. It's all about him. Yet it's all about you and him. Even before time began, this truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has what's this word? Dismantle. Any of you ever dismantle anything? My wife dismantled my daughter's refrigerator the other day. I walked in the room. She goes, I can't put it back together. Well, this is the same thing the devil is saying. I can't get it back together. See, Jesus dismantled death. Amen. Dismantled death. Obliterating. What's that word mean? Come on, you got to look at the words in this. I don't know if I say it right. Obliterating. Poof. All its effects. Whose effects? Death's effects. On our lives. And has manifested what? Has manifested his what? His immortal life in us by the gospel. Hallelujah. Makes me want to shout. Makes me want to jump. Because, folks, I'm telling you, death has been defeated. You've got no place worrying about death. No place. Because he's obliterated. Is that a word? Obliterated. I put a V in it for some reason. Obliterated. Oh, man, he destroyed it. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just going to read this in the King James because I'm getting a little long. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also what? The resurrection of the dead. Okay? Now watch what's being said. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Are you alive or are you dead? Come on, man. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards. People tell me, you believe this? I go, yeah, I believe it, man. I believe I do not have to die. Really? You believe that? Are you stupid? Damn, well, I don't know, man. Everybody dies. You know why? Because we've been conditioned by our world around us rather than the Word of God. Let the Word of God condition you and you'll find that death has been obliterated. Why should I go through the porthole of death where the Bible calls it an enemy of God? Why should I do that? I was telling the guys the other day, I got two options. A chariot from heaven, or I'll just walk right in like Enoch did. Two options. That's how I'm going. I believe, never mind, I'm just going to say. Then it says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits after they that are Christ at his coming. Somebody was telling me, well, Paul has died. Well, the time isn't then. So you see, the times and the seasons change with God. And see, we are entering into the season where the operation of the mysteries of God is coming to the body of Christ like it's never been before. You will do things. There's treasures and gifts that are within each and every one of you that you don't even realize yet, that those gifts will take you to places. It will take you to places where you will help folks. Hallelujah, for the kingdom of God. Where you say, hey, rise up and walk. I don't have anything, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the anointed one, rise up and walk. It says this. Then it says the first fruits, afterwards, those that are Christ that is coming. Do you see that where it says? At his coming. The word of God says this. Let's check this out. That a trumpet shouts out, right? It says, how's it said in Thessalonians? Give me a chance just to think because I'm disengaged. In the twinkling of an eye. Is that right? In a moment. And then it says, and at the last trump is what the Word of God says. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has said, Henry, these are different events. It's not all at once where the trumpet blows and we go at the twinkling of an eye. It said these are all different events. There's a twinkling of the eye. When you're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden God shows you something, light comes in, boom, you see it. Whoa, and you're transformed by it. Amen? That's the twinkling of an eye. In a moment. See, that was a moment. There might be another moment. You're out and talking to a person, and all of a sudden while you're talking, you realize something that the Word of God has never said to you before, but all of a sudden it said it. And you go, man, that's a moment. Amen? And then it says, at the last trump, we'll all be changed. See, we're all being changed by the Spirit of God. We've just been trained different. Amen? But God is saying, it's now time to yield to my Spirit. And he says, then comes the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Do you understand? Do you see that word? He shall have delivered up the kingdom. It is, we talked a little bit about it this morning, but let me tell you something. God is creating a kingdom on the earth. And then when that kingdom begins to get established, people begin to see it. There's a transformation in many lives. Now God is saying, now go get them because we have put down everything that is contrary to God. Do you understand? And now that whole kingdom is lifted off the earth. We meet him in the air. And now God begins the seven seals of judgment for those that will not believe him about his son and what his son has done for them. That's the only thing that sends people to hell. Do you know that? You just don't receive the Son of God. It's crazy. Why will you not receive that what God has done? Then comes the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom. This is what Jesus is bringing, the kingdom into the heavens. That's us. And then the end will come. God will begin to do that. The 7 years of tribulation. You guys have heard, you guys know about that. Can I tell you, is this a little different than what you've been taught all your life? This was what God was loading me early this morning, 2:00. Tell my people, understand who they are and what they're doing and what I'm doing. Is that crazy? That's crazy, man. Can we all stand? Amen. Glory to God. The last scripture I want to read is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And this I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, Christ's resurrection, look at it, is your resurrection. Amen? This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Amen? We are to yearn after these things. Is that right? Yes! Feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Amen? Come on, man. We got to drive our cars. We got to pay attention to gas prices. We got to do that. See, that God knows all that. But our affections and our thoughts to the kingdom. That's who we are. Your crucifixion with Christ. Is that right? Has severed the tie to this life. Are you dead or are you alive? And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Do you get that? Isn't that good? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. God, Father, I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would, Father God, as I spoke this morning to you, Father, that the birds would not steal the seed, that this seed would find good ground, and that it might grow, and that it might prosper. Because, Father, this is your word being spoken to a body this morning that's hungry for you. So, Lord, water the seed. Let us grow in these things, and let us, Father God, look to you and to you only for understanding of what we are here for, God. We thank you for that. We praise you for it. If there's anybody here that has never given their heart to the Lord, never asked God to come into your life, I just want to just say, what are you waiting for? Allow him in. He is the most wonderful. He's the creator. Allow him into your life. Ask him for forgiveness. Tell him you love him. Tell him you want to walk with him, talk with him. You want to see him. And you watch what he does. He forgives your sin. He's already paid for it. He just needs you to acknowledge what he's done in your life. Speak to him. Thank you, Father, for your word. Do that which no man can do in our lives, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.